The parable of the talents has two obvious meanings, one fiscal and the other moral. The fiscal or financial context can only be appreciated if we make sense of what we call these talents. In ancient times, people valued a vast amount of money by its weight. The heaviest weight in Roman currency was what we call a talent, and it weighed 35 kilos. That's a lot, isn't it? A 35 kilo weight. Think of a bullion. A bullion is a weight of gold, those bricks of gold, and of course, the value is measured by the weight, which is then translated into a currency. So that's what we're talking about. A vast amount was given out, 5, 2, and 1. And as the story goes, those who had received the higher amounts, the 5 and the 2 talents, did well, entrepreneurial skills, and they made a handsome profit and came back. But the one who was given only one talent, 1 bullion, you might say, didn't do very well. In fact, he didn't make any money and was punished. And the punishment was severe. He was told to go out into the dark where there's weeping and gnashing, grinding of teeth, which seems somewhat severe. After all, the man who'd been given that one talent could have done worse. He could have perhaps have squandered the talent by gambling, going to the pokies or online gambling, and lost the lot. He at least gave back what he was given, and that justified it in his mind. But we're told two things about him. One, that he is wicked, and two, that he is lazy. We can understand, yes, the laziness, but where does this accusation of wickedness come from? Well, it's not direct. There's no direct correlation with that in the story, but there is an indirect correlation. And that's by the accusation he makes regarding the owner. I hear that you're a hard man, a hard man. In other words, a mean man. I'm so mean, I'm afraid of you. That's the wickedness coming out there. How did he hear he was a hard man? The man himself was very generous, giving out this vast amount of money. And then when people had done the right thing, he gave out even more. He was not mean, but overly generous, magnificent in his generosity. So here we have the aspersions of calumny. Calumny is different to detraction. Both are forms of gossip. Detraction is when you tell something true about somebody which other people don't need to know. Calumny is when you make up stories or lies about somebody and it spreads. This man has heard calumny, lies, and has fostered them, and that's entered into his heart, which is called malice. He's formed a judgment, and from that judgment, he now justifies his laziness, all under the theory of, I was afraid. No, you've used your fear as a justification for doing nothing. And hence, he's severely dealt with. What about his laziness? It seems like some people are born lazy, doesn't it? It's kind of like slugs stuck on the couch. It's hard to get them to do anything. Yes and no, there are certain people that are perhaps more lazy than others, and there's some people who can't stop doing things once they're doing, like, kind of got ADD or whatever. So you're kind of, we're all in between, aren't we, in the spectrum. But it's not true that someone is 100% lazy. Well, it seems like it, but it's not. Children can be very lazy with regards gardening and pulling weeds. And remember, a weed is an unwanted plant. So you have to be very careful which ones you pull. But children might be lazy in outdoor activities, but if you gave them a computer game, well, they're not lazy at all. They're very active in their computer game. So laziness gets back often to what we find interesting, what we're concerned about. In other words, what things we like to do. And we have enough energy often to do the things we love, but we don't have enough energy to do the things we don't like doing. And so it gets back not too much to laziness, but a lack of what we call diligence. Being diligent means caring about what is important. And it's based upon a Latin verb, diligere, which means to love. And therefore, we ought to love to do the things we don't like doing for the sake of God and for his glory. The other aspect of this story isn't financial or fiscal, but plays upon the other word, other meaning of the word talent. In short, we have all been given certain talents or abilities, gifts, given to us by God. and we are called by him to use them for the benefit of others and for his glory. Now, no one is born without certain gifts and talents, but bear this in mind, sometimes they lay dormant for decades. Sometimes at school, some children think, oh, I'm not very good at maths, and I'm not very good at writing, and I can't play sport that well, I'm kind of hopeless. And if it, no, you're not. Your time will come. I look back on my life and I realise that some of the really good footballers that I knew at Assumption College Kilmore, who excelled in sport then, aren't excelling in sport now. They're doing other things completely different, in politics or in business. So your time will come, just be patient, and God will reveal where your skills lie. You might find that you're very good at business in 10 years' time, or you might be someone called to a healing ministry or service ministry as a doctor or nurse. Be patient, your time will come. What we must do, however, is use the talents given to us at the time required by God and make the most of those opportunities and not be lazy or hide our talents. This man hid his. So we all have our moment in history, his story, where we're meant to excel, and we can, by his grace, and manifest those talents, as I said, for his glory. One person who did that in a rather extraordinary way was Meg, or rather Margaret of Scotland. Her feast is during the week. Margaret of Wessex was an English princess born in Hungary. Much good has come out of Hungary in the past and in the present. She was born there in 1045, and her family returned to England when she was only 10 years old, but she was caught up with this conflict with William the Conqueror, the Battle of Hastings, and she had to flee. And her family, her widowed mother, tried to escape back to the continent, but there was a family issues and the ship didn't make it, and it was caught in a storm. I think it's Providence. And God sent them back to England. And they were shipwrecked eventually on the north coast of Scotland. And that place is called St. Margaret's Hope, because from there came the hope of Scotland. The King of Scotland was Malcolm, Canmore III, and he welcomed Margaret and her family into his royal domain. And they fell in love, Margaret and Meg, and were married in 1070. Together they would have 8 children, 6 sons and 2 daughters. And 2 of the children became saints, one called David and the other one called Matilda. Or Edith was her official name, but she would later become Queen Matilda of England, and she's a canonised saint. And Margaret and Malcolm ran the show there. In other words, the domain, the kingdom of Scotland, they made it a holy country by hard work, prayer, virtue, and using the talents that God had given them. Malcolm could have been a bit too rough at times. He was an irascible type. Problems with his temper. I don't know whether he was a redhead or not. Whatever the case, Margaret kind of, over time, with her gentleness and kindly persuasion, and I'm sure she had a lovely smile, won him around to much virtue. And together they also reformed the church. People don't know this, but she had a very strong influence at certain synods to reform the clergy, to bring about what we call the Easter duty of confession and communion. She was the one who brought back the custom of Lent beginning on Ash Wednesday, and also that we don't work on Sunday. She was a key player in helping bring about good catechetical formation of her people, apart from encouraging churches to be built and one monastery. And Scotland became known as the pearl of the church in that part of the world, because of the holiness of the royal family. And of course, she looked after the poor and the sick and the needy as well, as much as she could. She lived a devout life and one very much imbued with holiness based upon virtue. And it reminds us that that family prayed together, and because of that, the children became saints and holy people that could build up God's kingdom. At the end, the bottom line is she was given certain talents, certain gifts which she did not hide but used in God's time and by God's grace to bring about a holy kingdom. One can imagine as she passed from this life to eternal life, God said to her, Meg, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the home that's been well prepared for you.